You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Researchers sampled almost 140 kaka nestlings born in Wellington over two seasons, finding that more than a third had detectable levels of lead in their blood, something that's usually rare in wild populations. Now, I spoke to one of the authors of the study, Professor Brett Guttrell, a professor in wildlife health at Massey University, on the subject, and I started off by asking him about the findings of his research.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So this research was Aditi's master's research. So it was a thesis that she did in combination with the good folks at Zealandia. And it arose out of the fact that our partners at the Wellington Zoo Nest, Takaima, were seeing adult kaka with lead poisoning. And so we were interested in where the lead was coming from and then what effects it might have on the kaka in Zealandia as they sort of start to spill out over the fence and move around more. So a previous paper that Aditi published, we had sampled adult kaka and we'd found a fairly high prevalence of lead in them, and we determined through isotope studies that the lead was most likely coming from the old roofing material that was in some of the houses around the Wellington area. So the kaka were drinking water from the gutter and picking up lead that way. So the next part for this paper that what we're interested in was to see what effect the lead might have on the chicks and whether the chicks were being exposed to it in the nest box. And from a scientific point of view, we were interested to see whether the chicks were getting lead through their maternal yolk or whether they were being fed lead. And it turns out both things are happening. So that's kind of the short version.
Yeah, now it also mentions here that the kakas had built up an innate tolerance to lead concentrations at these levels.
Yeah, so what Aditi did was she looked at the young chicks at about 3 or 4 weeks of age, which was about as early as the Zealandia folks wanted us sort of poking around in the nest boxes, so we didn't interfere with them too much. We went back again about a month later, and so we got repeated samples on these young chicks. And what we're doing is looking to see if there was any growth deformities or any, we did a neurological exam. We're trying to see whether the lead was affecting their nervous system in any way, because that's the primary way that lead affects young animals or young people even. And the surprising thing was, even though we found some very high levels of lead in some of the chicks, that we didn't actually see any signs of neurological impairment or not. Now, part of that is we only have those very crude measures of what the lead is doing to the nervous system. And one of the concerning things for us is that young animals and people that are exposed to lead when their brain is still developing have been shown to have a lower IQ, a permanently lower IQ as a result of exposure to lead. So we didn't see any major evidence of lead on the nervous system of these young chicks, but it's still possible that it's having an effect that we weren't able to detect. However, all of the chicks, even the ones with really high levels of lead, were able to fledge successfully, and that's as far as our research was able to take it at that point.
You guys are calling for long-term monitoring to get a better sense of how lead exposure could be affecting this group of birds. Do you want to take the study further? And really, is there anything else which fascinates you about this matter?
Oh, yes. There's lots more that we'd like to do. It's kind of limited by our getting access to the birds and research funding and all the rest. But obviously, for us, what's interesting is these chicks, obviously, the lead didn't affect them at this very young age, but we would really like to know whether the birds that had the high levels of lead when they were young have either lower survival or run into more troubles when they get out and start foraging around. And the other thing that we can see sometimes is animals with parrots, particularly problem-solving parrots like kaka, might do less well because they're a little bit thicker because of the lead, so to speak. So, yeah, we'd like to do a series of behavioural studies, survival studies, and look at the long-term impacts of lead on these birds.
Yeah, now, if there was any long-term negative effects on kakas as far as lead exposure goes, what would you recommend the action be?
Well, it's not just the kaka that are being affected by the lead. We're also seeing tui being brought into the wildlife hospitals with lead poisoning, and we think they're being affected from roofing water in the same way. So it's probably more than just the kaka that are being affected by this. But the changes have already been made to the building codes and things like that, in that the new roofing material does not contain the levels of lead in the flashing and the guttering and things like that that we see in the older buildings. And this problem will improve as we renovate old houses and we bring their roofing up to spec and things like that. It's not just a concern for the wildlife, but also for if you're collecting water off the roof and using it in the garden or storing it for emergency supplies in case of earthquakes and things like that. It's worth just getting the lead levels in your water checked, because you could potentially be spreading this pollutant around as a result of that. So the council can help you if you do wish to test your water and things like that. But ultimately what it will be is we need to improve the materials we use for building. Lead's been used through history because it's a very useful metal because it's corrosion resistant and it's soft and bends and you can form it in all sorts of shapes. But it does have this negative effect where the lead itself is toxic to people and animals.
That was Professor Brett Gartrell, a professor in wildlife health at Massey University, speaking about kaka nestlings being born in Wellington with levels of lead in their blood.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.